Hello, I'm Steve McCauley and I'm interviewing Ian Davis about his article Alliances and Networks, Creating Success in the UK Fair Trade Market, published in the Journal of Business Ethics 2009. Now Ian, could you give me some background on your article and the research that went with it?
Yes, no problem. I'll start really with my interest in fair trade going back. I actually first got interested in fair trade in 1994 when I set up a small business selling fair trade goods, actually within the school, well, through a young enterprise project. And I continued that on working with Tradecraft then onwards as a representative for them in my local area. And then on going to university, I started to do the same thing in South Wales and the South West, which is where I went to university. So I continued on with that, and then I got involved with a company called Day Chocolate Company, who now called Divine, make Divine chocolates and Divine double chocolate bars. And really, I was offered the opportunity to do a PhD, and I thought, well, I like fair trade. At the time, it was very unpopular. It was, you know, about 7 or 8% recognition in the UK market. Consumer surveys found only about 7 or 8% recognition of fair trade as a term. And I decided to do a PhD in this little known, unknown area. And I went and did my PhD project and continued to work within fair trade whilst doing it. So I was working in sales and marketing at Divine Chocolate Company, Equal Exchange. I did some work with Cafe Direct, but mostly did interviews with Cafe Direct. And also across the entire industry using the contacts I'd built up. So built up a nice, rich, deep body of literature and then of research. And then I've continued to follow that through ever onwards. So to this day, I still continue to dip my toe in from time to time. So it's now been 15 years since I first got involved with the fair trade.
So how did you go about the research and what were the outcomes?
Well, the general research projects, I've got a number of papers kind of lined up. Some of them are already in public imprint, some of them are still to come. A lot of it's looking at the organisational nuance, the things that happen within the business itself to make it a success, which is something that not many of the researchers are doing in the fair trade market. Most people do the research either with consumers or from a distance, whereas mine's from very much within the organisations and looks at actually what led to the success in the whole industry. So everything from their HR practices, their marketing practices, and with this paper, the networks that they've created.
What came out of it?
Well, in this paper in particular, what we're looking at is how in fair trade, the formation of the organisations and the build of the industry has been very much based on a networking alliance structure. I mean, you look at someone like Cafe Direct, they're the fifth biggest coffee brand in the UK and they only have 32 employees. I mean, you can only do that if you're going to have huge networks. And they do. They don't manufacture anything. They don't use supply chain. They don't do supply chain management. They don't necessarily distribute or wholesale or market themselves. All of it's done by external bodies and they rely very much on those networks to build their position within the market, and that's across the whole of fair trade. It really is a network-built industry.
And what's the secret of success then? So you say networks.
I think the secret's been for them to be very close. A lot of the fair trade companies, I mean, we can separate the people involved in fair trade into a group of categories. There's the organisational bodies, the Fair Trade Labelling Organisation, and in the UK, the Fair Trade Foundation, who are the governors of fair trade. Now, on top of them, there's actually all of the charities and alternative trading organisations that have been doing fair trade since the 60s in many cases. And those two groups together have actually worked very closely to build this modern, you know, profit-seeking fair trade organisations, which is the focus of this work. And within that profit-seeking group, there's a further three groups. There's the fair trade companies, who are specialist fair trade organisations. Then there's fair trade adopters, who kind of have adopted fair trade. They were existing companies, often organics, so with like Clipper Teas or Green and Blacks. And then you have like the fair trade branders, people who have large, expansive product lines like Nestle, for instance, who also carry a fair trade product as well. And really, it's the way that these groups have all united together with simple single messages. I mean, every year there's the Fair Trade Fortnight, which is either in February or March, depends on which decade you look at. And they have one message, and all of them give a united message to the market. And it's actually given them a solid, consistent visibility with the public. And now we've moved from, you know, 1999, 2000, maybe 11% public recognition of fair trade, Today, 82% is the most recent figure for public recognition of the fair trade mark, so it's been seriously successful.
Ian, that's very interesting. Thank you.
Thanks very much.